This is When Spirit Calls, and you on your journey are in the right place. This show is about magic, miracles, and meaning shared through stories, interviews, and channeled messages. We have so much to share about who you are and your divine mission here on the earth. Let's get to it. When Spirit Calls is right now.
Our guest on the show today is Monica Ramirez. Monica is known as the Warrior of Love. She is an artist, best-selling author, podcaster, and transformational coach. As the artist of authenticity and the architect of inner transformation, she guides people from confusion and self-doubt to clarity, self-love, and empowerment. She's a certified neuro-linguistic programmer practitioner, BQH hypnotherapist, life coach, Reiki master, cognitive behavior therapist, and Akashic record reader, as well as a multidimensional energy healer. She is also the founder of The Path to the Heart, a transformational system that helps people heal, integrate, and embody their highest potential. She also loves being the host of the Soul Talk podcast. Through her work, whether one-on-one, in groups, or on stage, she channels higher guidance, activates healings at the soul level, and empowers others to step into warrior confidence and create a life they love. Oh, hello, everyone. It's so wonderful to be back with you on another episode of When Spirit Calls. I have a beautiful guest today. You've learned a little bit about her as I read you the bio, but I am so delighted to spend this time with Monica. Hi, Monica.
Hello. Thank you so much for inviting me to your podcast. I really appreciate it, and to all your viewers.
Oh, I am so happy that you were able to make some time. I know that you're going through a move and lots of big things are happening for you. So thank you for taking the time with us. And, you know, you and I have now known each other for quite a few years. And we even got to spend some time together in Sedona in person. And, you know, one of the things that I really admire about you is the grace that you carry. You know, I've witnessed you having to go through some difficult times in your life. And you always manage to just exude this calm grace to you. And I always feel such a calm when I'm with you. I feel like I can be myself. And I think that's really important these days, that we can hold space for other people. And you do that so beautifully. But I'm sure you didn't always have that level of grace. And so I would love to hear, and I'm sure our audience would love to hear, what was the backstory? Because you grew up in a different way than many of us, and you had to grow in a different way than many of us. And I'd love for you to share that story with all of us.
Thank you. Yes, I grew up in a narcissist family where money was more important, or how much you have or what achievements you have, more than who you are. So it was not important how you feel. In fact, no one asked how you feel because no one really cared.
Wow.
So for me, I did a bunch of mistakes more when I was a teenager. I did a lot of mistakes. And of course, they haunt me to the point that right now my family is not even talking to me for the mistakes that I did when I was 15.
Wow.
But carrying the guilt and the shame and the blame and the guilt, I was feeling not powerless. I felt like I was worthless. So that took me to make more mistakes, because of course, when you feel like that, when you are worthless, you're going to attract more of that, that will prove to you that you're worthless. So I had different marriages that they proved me that I was worthless. And my first marriage, it was chaotic. I got pregnant when I was 21, and my husband was bisexual, and I did not know that after having two kids until finally I found him. And I got divorced when I was 21 with two kids. Then the second one, it was very, very unfaithful. So I was not feeling good enough. That was proving again and again and again what I was carrying since a child. Yeah. And the third marriage, it was a man that it was beating me every time I expressed myself.
Wow. So you were really living in that, okay, I'm worthless. And so you attracted these experiences that validated the belief that you were worthless.
Exactly.
Wow.
Until actually love for myself and for my kids, because I had first my fourth child, it was a little girl. And I thought, I don't want to see grow like me. I don't want to see experience what I experienced in this patriarchal society. My other kids were boys. Mm-hmm. So for them, there was an entitlement because they were already born as a man.
Yeah.
But my daughter is like, I did not want to see live through that. So with all the fears in the world that they were going to kill me if I divorce and so, I confront my fears. And because of the love I have for my daughter. But when I was already did that, I was already, my nerve system and my immune system was really messed up. Mm-hmm. So I got sick with lupus, RA, and of course I was so depressed that I wanted to clock out, but I couldn't cope that clock out because my daughter.
Wow.
So I have to overcome learn how to overcome my fears, and learn how to overcome also my own depression, and at the same time, show my daughter that there's a world is here, and she was not going to see a weak mother and a mother that giving up in life.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's when, in a way, God, I pray to God, it's like, okay, show me a way, or else I don't know what to do. I have
I've been there. Yeah, been there. That merciful plea. Please, God, you better show me the path. Otherwise, this is it. Yes.
And that's when actually God opened me the doors, and I find a post in Facebook saying, looking for 12 magical women. And that's where I met one of my first teachers that I adore too. I'm taking classes, in fact, right now with her again. Karen in New Zealand, and she taught me about my own magic, my own worth, and she taught me how to overcome all those fears and start doing the shadow work, and I start physically getting better.
Wow.
And learning how to become the observer of my own thoughts and my own emotions, and how to overcome my shame, my blame, my guilt, and start feeling that I was worthy.
Yes.
And that was a game changer for me.
Wow. And you know, that shame spiral can be so difficult to get out of, because the stories just pile upon the stories, right? And again, you know, this outer evidence that we think we're seeing when someone's saying we're worthless, or someone's abusing us, or when someone's, you know, hurting us in some way, it's really easy to validate, oh yes, I am worthless and I should feel this shame. And it keeps us hostage. So it's so beautiful that you were able to rewrite the stories in your mind. And I think that's such a powerful thread of that, because I think so many of us are telling us these stories that perhaps are not so true after all.
Yes. And you know about NLP, neurolinguistic programming, that it is such a game changer. That's when you realize, oh my God, I really can reprogram myself.
Yeah, we can.
Yes.
We can. We have this incredible technology within us that we forget. We're just like supercomputers, except even more advanced. We just have forgotten.
And that is a big game changer, because that's when you can say, okay, there's many modalities inside the same model in the same NLP.
Yes.
That teach you how you can change that.
Yeah.
So that it is what I did to myself. And now and the people that knew me when I was sick, when I was with a victim mentality, when I was feeling worthless and so forth, and later on saw me that I was not swollen anymore, I was not in pain, that I had energy, that I do thousands of things at the same time. I say, how do you did it?
Yeah.
And you're not suicidal this time. Like, actually, you have hope for life and you're giving that back to the people. And like, how do you did it? I even wrote a book about it, Transformation and Metamorphosis. I even wrote a full program inside of the first level that is Transformation and Metamorphosis.
Wow. So you were able to heal yourself from lupus.
Yes.
At least have not had any outbreaks or anything. You really feel healed in that.
Yes. I don't get swollen anymore. I have the energy. I can continue going and going and going and going. that I was my old self when I was in my 50s, in my 20s. And I went back there. And the depression, I could control it. I stopped taking medications because I was not eating it anymore.
Wow. Wow.
Of course, I'm not going to say I'm never sad because then I will stop being human.
Yes, of course. Of course. But the depth of the depression in the sense that you would have to take medication for it has gone away. Yeah. Brilliant. And so you contribute that to neurolinguistic programming, to spiritual connection. What do you think is the reason for all of that healing and that understanding?
It was basically reprogramming myself and understanding that I was worthy. I was worthy. Yeah. It was reframing all my thoughts, how I observe, because now that's what I teach to people, how to become to be the observers of our thoughts, because we have intrusive thoughts. Everybody has that. But you can catch them now. It's like, wait, this thought is not even mine. Where I'm getting this thought? So like that, you can control it. I hear a long time ago, someone that described it as like, who's the driver, your ego or yourself? When you become the observer, you can catch that. Who's driving your own vehicle?
Yes. And then we can start driving our own vehicle, right? Yes. Or even allowing permission for divine to drive the vehicle instead of the ego. And I think that's a really big piece of this world right now. We're so invested in allowing the ego to drive the vessel, right? To drive us, right? To allow for us to make certain decisions that are actually maybe not in harmony and not in alignment for us. So tell me what you would love for people to know based on your experience and what you've learned. Like, what are the three big things that you really know now that you didn't know before that you want people to know?
Well, when you understand that for a reason, for a big, big reason, you're sent this into this plane to have a mission. We all have different missions and we're all different. We're not cookie cutters. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of a human being. When you understand that your light has the purpose of actually to be here, that's when you have a motive to continue going. And it's not only in a selfish way, it is to help others at the same time.
Yes.
And that will give you the same motor to continue going and going and going, to continue actually living a fulfilled life.
I think it's so important for us to have this bigger picture perspective, right? To understand that there's, and maybe it's not, I think sometimes people get caught up in this, like, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? And they want to find the thing that they're supposed to do. But what if our purpose is in our being?
And not only that, Dee, is if all the pains that we pass, everybody have passed through different kinds of pains, but those are the pains that we have mastered to become the person who you are. And that is exactly what is going to be needed so you can help others pass into the same things that you already pass.
Yes. Earth school. We're in Earth school, right? You know, this is one big academy of evolution. And so allowing us to look at it from that perspective, I think, creates a lightness, right? If we understand that, like, okay, I'm just getting an education here. I'm learning, I'm growing and evolving, and I get to receive the wisdom and the value. You know, oftentimes, you know, those of you listening have heard me talk about leveraging the opportunities that present themselves. It could be the worst thing ever, but there's something in it for us. And I'll use just a current example. I was hacked this week and money was taken out of my bank account. And at first I went into my panic. Oh my God, you know, tears are falling. What's happening? Panic, panic, panic. And then I took a breath and I thought, wait a sec, let me be the observer here, right? Let me get the ego panic out of the way. Let me be the observer and let me get really clear on what this is doing. One, it's allowing me to get more secure in all of my accounts, right? I'm adding extra security measures so something worse doesn't happen. Two, it's allowing me to understand the process and the feelings of what people go through when they are defrauded, because it's a deep sense of violation, right? And also, it actually brought up old trauma from when I was defrauded and lost a significant amount of money. And so I realized I still had some wounds there to heal. So when I look at it from that perspective, I think, thank goodness this person stole money from me, because now I have all this wisdom. And I know that might sound a little bit silly, you know, but it's this wonderful opportunity now for us to respond differently, for us to choose a different perspective that will allow us to suffer less. Because I think that's, you know, suffering is the discrepancy between what you think should be and what actually is, isn't it? Right? If I think everything should be over here and look like this, and then it's not, oh man, there's a suffering that comes with it. So allowing us to witness that there's so much information for us in all of the experiences, there's value. And I feel like that's really what you're saying here, is that there's value in all of it for us. And it allows us to become the teachers and the people that we are today.
And choosing at the same time, what experience really do you want to have? And what do I learn from these mistakes? What do I learn from that emotion? What do I learn from someone that hurt me? Because at the same time, everybody, we're not victims. Everybody's our teacher. Everybody's our teacher. And when we see it in that way, and we learn and we observe what we learn from different experience, then we're mastering that.
Yeah.
So we can first of ourselves, so we can help others at the same time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, what else? What else do you want to share with our audience? What else do they need to know?
Well, I'm going to be starting again because it is a whole year program, but I divide it in three parts. I'm going to be having Transformation and Metamorphosis, my level one, that it is about shadow work. It is precisely to letting go the shame and the blame and the guilt and feeling victim mentality. So like that, they can overcome all those things.
Yes.
And they can attract actually what they really want, and not from the pain.
Yes, yes. So let's talk about this for a minute, because you're going to offer this program, or it's going to be running when this airs. It'll be 1 week in, so people will still be able to join. But let's talk about what the shadow work is. And we recently did have a guest that spoke about it briefly, but I think that it's really important for people to understand, because I know when I first heard shadow work, I was like, oh, like who wants to deal with that? But I understand that that is such a beautiful part of me, those darker, deeper parts of me that are wreaking havoc, that are causing me to suffer, that are causing, you know, me to limit myself and my abilities. And so the power of this work really allows us to get the messy stuff out of the way, or to at least be able to receive the value in even those things. You know, I say dark things, I say heavy things as the shadow work, but really it's a part of the whole of us. And the invitation, I believe, is to actually welcome that. And when we welcome it, we receive the value. And then the heavier, denser parts of that no longer are holding us hostage. Can you expand on that, or am I on track?
Everybody has shadows. Everybody has, or some shames, or some blames, or some guilt. That's another way to call them shadows, because it is just a word used, shadows, from all that pain, victim mentality, etc., all those kind of things. So in the moment we observe, like I was mentioning earlier, that, okay, what do I learn from this lesson? You're integrating that in you, but now from the perspective as a teacher, not as a student anymore, because you were the student when you were passing through all those shadows, mm-hmm. those pains. And in the moment you are overcoming that and learning from that, that's how you're overcoming your shadows and integrating in yourself. And it's like, I would not be the person now if I did not live what I have lived before. So I love that parts of me that, yes, I had to pass through all that to be who I am now. Mm. So I love that part of myself, because now I can be the coach, the healer, the whatever I am now.
Yes.
That I always wanted to be. So it is loving each part of us.
Yes.
It is loving each part of us, including the shadows.
Yeah. Beautiful. I think that this is such an important piece for us right now, because it definitely feels like there's some shadowy parts of the world. And I notice a lot of people are like pushing away from that, like, right, that divisiveness, right? We're dividing the world and saying, well, they're dark and they're evil and they're bad. And we keep pushing. And I think that the solution is to welcome it all. The solution is to welcome it lovingly. And that's hard to do. So, Monica, what are some things that we can do to like love those shadows? Like what does that even look like? What does that even mean? Can you give us like a little bit of an idea of what it would look like?
What I will recommend, first of all, is learn to get to know yourself first. You don't know yourself first, you're not going to even know that those envies or those envies or competitions that you're doing and projecting to others.
Yeah.
Because even coaches and healers and so forth, yes, they have now this a new modality, but they didn't need a shadow. So they are going to be projecting themselves to their own clients.
Yeah.
So once that you get to know those parts of you, oh, this is who I am. Okay, now I can put attention when I am doing it to others or doing it to myself. So that's why it's very important to get to know. And I see you see this, a lot of the people can see this, and people that are just left a job that they have a lot of years, or they just divorce or become a widow, and they don't know who they are. They don't know what is their favorite color in reality, because they always people please others, so they forgot who they were. So in the moment they start learning who they are, they can say, okay, I don't like when I'm competing, or I don't like when I am envying, or I don't like that those parts of myself. Then I can focus in stop myself when I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It is easier to let go vices like even cigarettes or tobacco or alcohol or drugs, because those are external things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more difficult to let go. It is internal addictions that we have of behavior.
Right. Yes, indeed. Those repetitive patterns of behavior that we have is almost harder, right? Because sometimes we can't see it, right? It's harder to see. And one of the things that I know that I love to do as part of getting to know myself is journaling. What else do you do to get to know yourself? Like, what does that even look like? Like, I mean, of course, I would say some of us would take some courses, or some of us would go to retreats or something as part of that get to know ourselves. But is there something simple that you do that really helped you in your getting to know yourself? What did that look like to you? Aside from becoming more aware and becoming the observer, was there a thing that you did to get to know yourself?
You can create different prompts, like, okay, what is my favorite color? Or what triggered me? When someone is talking to me and it triggered me,
ask the questions. Okay.
Write it down so like that, or else you will forget. Write it down, because you are going to see a pattern at the same time, repeating and repeating it with different people in different situations, but it's the same pattern.
Mm. Isn't that interesting how simple that is to just question ourselves more?
Yes.
Like that's what you're saying. Just question yourself. Like, okay, what am I doing that for? How was I feeling in that moment? You know? And to me, that just seems so like simple, but yet so effective.
And something that one of the best teachers for all of us is our own ego. Because ego is going to be is the one that's going to be triggering you. It is the one that's going to be bothering you. But precisely listen to your ego, not for you going with the ego. Like, yes, we're going to treat bad this person. Because that's what your ego will say. No, it's like, okay, why this is triggering me?
Yeah.
Why this is really want to choke someone? Why? If this is a memory from my childhood, or this is a memory from an ex-husband, or this is where this is coming from? Because that's something that we haven't healed. Then that's something that we have to make and put more attention to, actually work with ourselves. It really does not have to do anything with a new experience that you're having. It has to do with a past experience. And that's that the ego can be your best tool with journaling.
Yes, when we are using it in that way, you know, and I think you and I both speak the language of befriending your ego. You know, and we've talked about that on the show a few times, where that, you know, if we can befriend the ego, even giving the ego a name, you know, all of a sudden it's like we can catch it more easily, right? Like, oh, that trigger. Okay, I just got triggered. Okay, what is this really about? And that ego will actually give us more information. It's going to say, well, remember the time that this happened? This is just the same thing happening again. And then you can say, well, wait a second. Is it? Is it really? Is that really true? And so that questioning of the ego, and not in a cruel way to ourselves, but just to say, hey, I'm not buying it today. I'm not picking up what you're putting down. I don't have to believe that story. And I think there's such power in just that in itself. One of the other things that I want to bring to the surface, Monica, because I know that you used to talk a lot about belief in our abilities, belief in ourselves. And this is tied to belief because the ego has a certain set of beliefs. And then our divine mind or our higher self has a whole nother set of beliefs. And our tendency, again, is to listen to the ego because it's a little bit louder, right? It's actually much louder, isn't it? And so I want to just talk about belief because I think there are some people probably listening that are saying, well, I don't believe that I can change my life that much simply by having a relationship with my ego. I don't believe that I'm capable of transformation. I don't believe that I'm capable of, you know, healing some of the shadow parts or allowing them to be part of me. And so for people that maybe don't believe in themselves, what would you love to say to that?
Well, part of believing in ourselves is a game changer for all of us. And remember, the parts that is making you not believe enough in you, it is the ego, precisely. That's the part that you have to ask and question. Why don't I believe in myself? Why don't I think this is possible? Because in reality, many of us, we have done it. So if one can do it, that means the collective can do it at the same time.
Yes.
So it is, do you want to believe in your ego? You're going to get stuck and you're going to be there as a victim mentality, or you're going to never believe in yourself. But that's a choice. Just change your choice. I want to believe in myself. Maybe in this moment you don't. But ask yourself, why don't I believe in myself? Because you heard it during your childhood that you were not good enough. Mm-hmm. Because remember, this is not about guilting the parents. Your parents also were programmed at the same time and not believing in themselves. So they just pass it on. This is epigenetics talks about this. Yeah. We inherit the fears of our great-great-grandparents, and we inherit that.
Yeah.
And we inherit all those parts. We inherit that. It's up to us and say, you know what? I don't want this anymore, and I don't want to pass it on to my kids, future generations.
This is the power of free will. We have a choice. We can believe or we cannot believe. We have the power to choose that. And I think that's your message here, is really empowering us to know that we can choose. You know, I often tell my clients, it's a choose your own adventure. And if you want to choose from ego, you can. But oh, is it so much better if you can choose from the place of your divine mind or your higher self? And I think when we see other people making the changes, to really allow ourselves to use that as evidence. You know, I've healed myself from fibromyalgia. You've healed yourself from lupus. Look at us go. And that was all based on our belief system. That was all based on the stories that we told ourselves and what we were choosing to believe. If I believe I'm going to be sick, I'm going to be sick. If I believe my body is resilient, my body is resilient. And I really believe there's power in that. And we know this through science, the placebo effect, and how powerful that belief is. And are you believing the things that are serving you? Are you believing the things that are making you feel good? And to really challenge that and to really question that. I think I mentioned this actually on a previous podcast, but it bears repeating as well. Dr. Zach Bush talks about studies that they did on people who were in hospice. And I don't know if you know this, but 10% of hospice patients actually get out of hospice. And when people are in hospice, they're on their like last legs, like this is their exit, right? But 10% of those patients end up getting out of hospice and leading on to live a number of years longer and good quality of life. And so they wanted to know, like, what separated the 90% with that 10%. And you know what they uncovered? It was the stories that they told themselves. It was the stories they told themselves. And so bringing that to the surface again and reminding all of you that are listening, what stories are you telling yourself? What are you believing that maybe needs to be challenged? What are you believing that is serving you? And really start questioning that.
And something that I would like to also bring up, if anybody encounter the same problem and the same problem and the same problem, that they reinforce that you're worthless or you're guilty, you're shame or whatever, or the same kind of people, the bullies that you have from kindergarten. And then you find bullies now as an adult. And it's like, okay, everybody, the world is full of bullies. To prove yourself, no, you're not proving yourself. You're attracting the same experience because you haven't healed the bullies from kindergarten. Yeah. And the moment you heal the bullies from kindergarten, you're not going to encounter so many bullies. And I was an adult.
Yes, yes. And also at the same time, a lot of times there's people that are like, oh man, I thought I healed this part, but there's different layers. And I think it's important for people to know that, like, yeah, you might've healed an aspect of that, but maybe there's something else there for us. And it doesn't mean we haven't done the work, and it doesn't mean, you know, we're not making progress. And I think that's really important for people to know as well, because I think sometimes people get down on themselves and say, oh, why is this coming up again? I thought I had done all this work on it, you know? And yeah, you did. And yeah, it's made progress. And here's an opportunity now to see that you are so aware now that of the pattern that you actually can recognize that, oh, wait a second, there is a pattern here, and an opportunity to go even deeper on that. So I think that that's a wonderful opportunity and an invitation to all of us to challenge that and to recognize that, you know, that this healing process comes in layers. We're probably going to be doing it the rest of our lives and beyond. But that's part of the schooling. That's part of the learning. Yeah.
We're becoming masters of that. So when you tell me, okay, is like, then you master the part of not feeling victim.
Right.
Even if I have worked for in this for years, once in a while catch myself, oh my God, I am acting like a victim mentality. I am not a victim. Let me empower myself.
Yes.
Changing that mentality,
yes.
Emotion at the same time, changing that so I can empower myself again. And don't, because feeling guilt, feeling the victim mentality is taking your power away and giving it to someone else. So let me bring my power back. So we can change it in the moment we choose different.
Yes.
And then this is our life. This is our choice, what we want to live.
Yeah, we have the power to choose. And I think that's such a beautiful message for each and every one of us. So that being said, you mentioned your program that is underway that people can still hop into if they wish to. Everything is recorded so you can catch replays as well. But what else is in store for our people if they... if they're feeling like, oh, Monica's, you know, she's the right one for me to teach me or to guide me in any way, what do you have to offer?
Well, I would like to give them something free so they can test a little bit about these beliefs and so forth with an intervention of NLP for 30 minutes.
Oh, yay.
And yes, a little bit of Akashic records that I learned from Dee.
That's so good. So Akashic blended with neuro-linguistic programming to really help with reprogramming. And that's a gift for everyone listening. So if you feel the call, please, please, please reach out. There's going to be the contact links and the booking link in the show notes. So you'll see that right under this particular podcast episode. Monica, it's such a treat. Thank you for spending time with us today and sharing a bit about your message and the work that you've done to empower yourself. And you are walking, breathing evidence of what is possible when we make different choices, when we build a relationship with our ego, when we question ourselves. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you to everybody that is listening to us. And thank you, Dee. Thank you for inviting me. You're an amazing human being. I love you.
Thank you. I love you too. And I receive that fully. And to all of you, we are sending you our love. Until next time, this has been When Spirit Calls. Bye for now. So happy you could join us today. And we hope that you found comfort and inspiration with wherever you are at right now. If you feel you received a gift in today's message, please pass that gift along to a loved one by sharing this episode with them. To continue this conversation, please join me at rosehope.ca. And when you do, be sure to access your free gift by signing up for the When Spirit Calls newsletter. I'm looking forward to connecting with you again soon.